Join us again next time on Viewpoint as we confront the issues of America's heart and home.
The views expressed on this program are those of the host and guests and are not necessarily those of the Information Radio Network, its affiliates, stations, or advertisers.
This is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you, the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views. And, well, this evening they're going to be the views of Patrick Wood of the August Corporation. Hi, Patrick, how are you?
Just fine, Dr. Stan.
And we were going to be talking with Patrick about the financial situation. There's a fascinating report that's come out from the Bank for International Settlement. Now, for those of you who are not quite up on some of the things that happen financially, don't have a degree in economics, the world is really run by the central banks of the world. The central banks of the world control the governments, they control the economy. They can make the economy good by flooding the country with money, lowering interest rates. They can make things bad by constricting money, by raising interest rates. And, of course, the central banker's central bank is the Bank for International Settlements in Basel, Switzerland. And here's where the elite of the world get together and decide what's going to happen and what the future holds. And they've come up with a new report, and Patrick's going to talk about that this evening. Fascinating information that everyone who wants to survive the coming financial tsunami needs to know about. So, Patrick, you pick up the story.
Well, thank you, Dr. Stan. And there was a report recently, the annual report, actually, that the BIS, the Bank for International Settlements, released. And they don't release a lot of literature throughout the year. Their website is pretty sparse, but they have some quarterly reports, and they have some an annual report that they release. And this year's annual report is about 10 days old now. And for the most part, it's dry bones economic stuff, much like listening to Alan Greenspan or Ben Bernanke, you know, give his economic report to the Congress. Very boring, very dry, by and large. But this report this time, if you read through the boring terminology. This time, this particular report is very pessimistic on the global economy. And we've been seeing stuff like this come through, you know, piece by piece. The press never picks up on it, of course, because they don't want to talk about this kind of stuff. But remember, we had 2 years ago, or a year and a half ago, we had Dr. Lawrence Kotlikoff of the St. Louis Federal Reserve write a blockbusting article that basically claim the United States is bankrupt. And he gave fact and figure to back it up. And, of course, nobody wrote about that, but nevertheless, the report was there. Well, the BIS has written their annual report. And basically what they're saying is that they issued a warning that years of loose monetary policy has fueled a dangerous credit bubble, and it's left the global economy more vulnerable to another 1930-style slump than generally understood. And this is their language. It's like, whoa. You don't hear this kind of talk certainly in the mass media, but these are the controllers of the various central banks around the world, and all but a few central banks are private corporations, like the Federal Reserve is here in this country. And each one of those Federal Reserve banks in the various countries belong to the Bank for International Settlements.
Hold that off right there.
Sure.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and our guest is Patrick Wood, and he's simply pointing out that the central banks are really privately owned. They're owned by bankers, and the bankers really determine the course of the economies of the nations of the world. And, of course, as Professor Quigley said so well in his book, Tragedy and Hope, A History of the World in Our Time, which was really so revealing. Somebody came in and bought up the publisher, Macmillan, and then destroyed the plates for the first half of the book so that nobody would ever read it. But I think it was page 324 or 325. He talked about how the banks got together and plotted secretly with one another on how to create a feudalistic system, with, of course, them being the feudal masters and us being the feudal serfs. But here now, suddenly, the Bank for International Settlement, which is a central bank, is talking about a coming, or at least the potential for a coming, catastrophic event which could precipitate, all sorts of dire consequences for the world. And, of course, once again reminding us what had happened back in the 1930s. And I think it's important that people understand that the 1930s was a watershed event for our economy, because as a result of what happened at that time, why, of course, we brought in all sorts of draconian changes in our way of life and really began moving away from freedom towards a fascist society, which is, of course, where we're rapidly moving today. Well, what does the Bank for International Settlements think could precipitate this crisis, Patrick?
Well, what they cite, Dr. Stan, are the same things that we've been talking about for some time. this is again from the report. They point to a confluence of signs that has led them to this thinking. And what it says is they cite mass issuance of new strange credit instruments, especially derivatives. Soaring levels of household debt, we've talked about that a lot before, extreme appetite for risk shown by investors, junk bonds and things like that, and what they call entrenched imbalances in the world currency system. And, imbalances would mean between countries and also between, just the issuance of currency in countries where the currency that issues out of balance with the economic activity that they have within the country. And all of these things, what they say, are coming to a conclusion. And, this has been the logic that we've used for a long time. These exact same things. And now they're talking openly about it. And,
hold that thought there.
Sure.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Patrick was just saying that the Bank for International Settlements is talking about the global imbalance that exists. How many organizations and individuals and corporations are taking tremendous risks, the derivative market. I mean, this is, as I think it was Warren Buffett had said, financial weapons of mass destruction. Certainly currently latent, but potentially lethal. Many companies are taking big risks. The hedge funds are getting leveraged. Everybody wants to get rich fast. But when you do this, there's no regulation. And if things start to turn against the hedge funds or against the people who hold the derivatives, there's not enough money in the world to bail them out. I mean, what you'd see would be a totally unraveling of this whole fiat money system, because we have a monetary system built upon absolutely nothing but faith in the integrity of our politicians and their honesty. And, well, I think right now Congress has an approval rating of about 12%, something maybe 13%. Do you really trust these people with your future and the future of your savings and the future of your family? Pick the story up there, Patrick.
Oh, boy, isn't that the truth? Well, the funny, the ironic thing is, of course, is that the Bank for International Settlements, they meet 10 times a year at a minimum, by the way, and they meet typically in Basel, Switzerland, where they set monetary policy for the whole world. And all the managers of the central banks attend these meetings, and there's a hierarchy, of course, within the group, but nevertheless, they discuss and set monetary policy that they can coordinate for all the various countries in the world that have central banks. That's all the industrial countries, and most of the underdeveloped companies as well have central banks. And so the conditions they're experiencing here that they're talking about are all conditions that they themselves have brought about. So even though the warning is going out, the warning may well be going out more to just their people who are sitting at the top of this heap who will profit from it either way. The people that are going to be losing, for instance, in a 1930s-style slump, which let's just call it a depression because that's what we had in the 1930s, if that happens, these people will not be set back. The bankers at the top will not be set back. But the little people around the world will get clobbered, perhaps for the first global depression in history. And it's just ironic, and it's also sad that they're talking about this now, but these are the people who have 100% of the responsibility for setting monetary policy around the world. And you have to figure that if they allow this to happen, then they figure they got a plan to it.
I think it's important that people understand that they point out that America just has a massive debt. Now, we have two things. We have, first of all, a debt. And, of course, you're told this year it's going to be $238 billion. But it depends on how you figure it. And if you figure it from a sound actuarial point of view, it's about $4.5 trillion. In other words, we would have to take in about $4.5 trillion more and invested it so that we could pay off on the interest on that for future obligations for Medicare and for Social Security and for federal pensions. They tell us we have a debt of $238 billion. They're simply lying. The real figures, the bankers understand, is much, much higher than that. So that's the debt. And then we have the trade deficit, which will be $800 or $900 billion, almost a $1 trillion this year. And other countries then are accumulating all sorts of American dollars. Japan, China. China's the largest holder of American debt anywhere in the world. But everybody is really wants to get out of the dollar because it's losing value. In fact, doesn't the Bank for International Settlement talk about how the dollar is really going to have to lose a great deal more in the way of its value or its purchasing power?
Exactly. What the report says, and I just quote, it says the dollar clearly remains vulnerable to a sudden loss of private sector confidence. That's a direct quote. Now, in Bernanke-ese or Greenspan-ese, that's a powerful statement. The dollar is, when it says the dollar clearly remains vulnerable to a sudden loss of private sector confidence, clearly means to them it's clear that the dollar is sitting on a precipice right now. But it's also interesting to note that it's talking about a sudden loss of private sector confidence, and this is what will bring the dollar down in the end, will be the private sector repudiating it. And my guess is they're well prepared for this already themselves, as the central bank to central banks around the world. And they'll be well insulated from it. But the people, the targets of that, the targets of this depression, will be very hurt before it's all done. Financially, emotionally, economically, spiritually, they'll be crushed.
Well, of course, they also talk about China. They're concerned about the fact that the Chinese economy is way overheated. The stock market is certainly much higher than it ought to be. Their currency is much lower than it should be, so they have a trade advantage over the United States. They can artificially, see, there's nothing behind the currency, so they can set it anywhere they want to. by setting it extremely low, it means their products are extremely cheap. So we are benefiting from that. Isn't it great we can buy all these goods so cheap here in the United States? But, of course, all of our money is going overseas to pay for them because we are no longer exporting more than we're importing. We're importing over almost $1 trillion a year more from other countries than they were exporting to other countries. So every year our trade deficit goes up further and further and further.
That's right. And what the Bank for International Settlement says about China, this is, again, a quote. It says, China's growth is, quote, unstable, unbalanced, uncoordinated, and unsustainable.
And, of course, what happens when it's unsustainable, what's going to happen is going to collapse. And when their economy collapses, and, of course, if our economy collapses, what's going to happen to the world economy? And they're really afraid that we're going to see in the year 2007 or 2008 exactly what we saw in 1929.
Exactly.
Because, of course, all these countries are operating at full capacity. But how many more certainly refrigerators do we need out there at the present time? Well, the Chinese need a lot of refrigerators, but a lot of them don't even have electricity, much less the wherewithal to buy them. They could use a lot more cars. But, of course, most Chinese don't make enough money to afford the cars, not at the present time. So, although they've been a phenomenal consumer, they're certainly consuming nowhere near as much as we are.
Yes. It's interesting to note, Dr. Stan, that I went to an economic conference this last week, and in her presence of people who have been studying China pretty intently, economists, and it's interesting to note that 60% of all of the exports from China are fueled by external investment. That means that 60% of all the export balance that they have is Western money, essentially, that went there to build factories, to build plants of one kind or another, infrastructure and stuff that would produce something to send outside the country.
And a lot of that is American money instead of building plants in America.
The majority of it is American money.
So we have created the industrial giant that threatens to destroy
that's
America.
Right.
And why would we do something like that? Why would we build up a ruthless, totalitarian a dictatorship, that is competing with us economically?
Exactly. Dr. Stan, it's reminiscent. This is the exact same pattern that was noted so many years ago by our friend Anthony Sutton when he wrote about the buildup of the Soviet Union by Western powers, by Wall Street powers, the buildup of communism, and the buildup of Hitler, even, during World War II. These very same financiers have done the same thing with China. And, if anything, it proves that the money that these people have is completely amoral, and they're completely amoral also. And my guess is, and what Tony pretty much hit the nail on the head, was that it's easier to do business with a dictator than it is with a democracy, because you only got one person to buy off. And, this appears to be exactly what's happened in China. And you remember that China was opened up originally by a singular visit by Henry Kissinger when he was Secretary of State for Richard Nixon. And that was the first little, peace dove, if you will, for the global elite, is that Henry Kissinger went and met on the sly, I might add, with communist dictators in China. And everything was a watershed down from that meeting. Everything we have down through the years was a result of Kissinger's first meeting with the Chinese dictator.
Well, because the idea is if we just, of course, are nice enough to the Chinese and build them up economically, they'll become eventually a nice democracy over there, and they'll give up their totalitarian ways, and everything is just going to be hunky-dory in the world. And it's the old adage, if you feed a tiger enough meat, he's going to become a vegetarian. And anybody believes that, don't get in the cage with them, with the tiger, because that tiger is not going to change his ways.
That's exactly right.
And the average American doesn't understand that many of the American corporations that have invested in China have been guaranteed with your tax money and your property that if their their factories are ever nationalized, they will get back not only their loss, but two or three times what they lost over there. Why are we doing that? Why is our government actively encouraging it? I can understand why the capitalists are doing it, but why is our government so intent upon building up communist China?
Exactly. Well, it certainly is a case where we want to watch what our politicians do, not what they say. Because what they say is clearly not what they do.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour, and only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine. So Radio Liberty has produced a four-tape or a four-CD set that discusses the health benefits of iodine. We also offer Iodorol. It contains 12.5 milligrams of iodine per tablet. And we also offer potassium iodide tablets, a little protects your thyroid gland in case there's a nuclear attack. So if you'd like to order these products or obtain additional information, why don't you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927, or go to our website at RadioLiberty.com. That's RadioLiberty.com. Once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
You got headaches? Most headaches are caused by a structural weakness of blood vessels in the head, and the blood vessels are tending to balloon, causing a headache. The structural weakness is due to a deficiency. Correct the deficiency and the body will heal itself. I blended what I believed to be the missing nutrients in the right proportions, and the headaches went away. When they were gone, they stayed gone. I named it Headache Stay Gone. See HeadacheStayGone.com or call 800-327-0727 for more information or to place an order. I'll send you a bottle of Headache Stay Gone. Headache Stay Gone will cure your headaches and prevent them from coming back before you pay the bill. Headache Stay Gone has already cured the worst migraines I have ever heard of. Call 800-327-0727. All orders are shipped the same day. Call 800-327-0727. That's 800-327-0727.
Hi, this is Dr. Tony Teary. Are you one of the many people who take vitamin supplements? Do you take handfuls of pills each day to increase energy, reduce your pain, or improve your overall health? Now there is a better way to get the vitamins and minerals your body needs in a delicious-tasting whole food liquid supplement, Body Balance. Body Balance contains 121 essential vitamins and minerals and is made from only organic and natural sources. Developed by doctors, Body Balance was originally available only through healthcare professionals. Now this incredible whole food liquid supplement can be delivered directly to your home. Body Balance offers an extremely effective method to feed your body towards wellness, and we're confident you'll love the difference your body feels. To order your Body Balance, call me directly at 1-800-768-9763 and try it risk-free for 45 days. Again, that's 1-800-768-9763 or online at healthyfoundations.net.
To response was, well, you know, they say that a lot of these immigrants, illegal immigrants, are coming to the United States because they want to get American jobs. But if they want to get American jobs, they wouldn't be coming to America. They'd be going over to India and China. And, of course, although we tend to laugh at that, the truth of the matter is it's real.
Yes.
We are intentionally exporting our jobs to other countries as part of this treasonous activity, because we could reverse this thing tomorrow simply by putting tariffs back on. If we had tariffs, why, of course, our countries, our companies would not be going overseas. They would, if they had to pay a tariff to bring the products back in here, then our goods could become competitive again. And I was just reading a conservative magazine about jobs, and I read article after article after article telling us all about the problems and how we were going to solve them, and not one mention of having tariffs and restoring the tariffs, which, of course, the founding fathers of America brought into this country at the time it was founded to give us a trade advantage so we'd become a strong nation. And yet neither the conservatives of today nor our globalist leaders would even consider that. Oh, no. My goodness, globalism is benefiting everybody in the world. And that's right, everybody in the world, except the American people.
Yes, right. And, of course, globalism is a global thing. That goes without saying. But the people in America are actually some of the last people in the world, Dr. Stan, to be hammered by this globalism phenomena that we see. Other countries have been raped for decades, in some cases. And, you know, we've seen some of the demonstrations in third world countries and undeveloped countries. We've seen some of the hatred and bitterness that they have towards, you know, like the World Trade Organization, towards the World Bank, towards the IMF, and so on. We see that and we think, man, what is wrong with those people down there? But what we never realized as citizens up here is that these people had been hosed by the same forces that are hosing us now. We're getting a taste of the medicine that they've been tasting for a very long time.
In fact, I think one of the finest books we carry and tapes that we have is called The Confessions of an Economic Hitman, a man who was recruited by the NSA, the National Security Agency, to go to work for American corporations, to go all throughout the world, of course, getting these countries into massive debt and working with the World Bank. Most people don't understand the World Bank, the International Monetary Fund, the Export-Import Bank, all of these are divisions of America. We are the World Bank. We are the International Monetary Fund. Oh, supposedly all the other countries are involved in it. But have you ever noticed that the American president always appoints the president of the World Bank? As if this somehow represents the world? No, it doesn't. It represents the elite who control this country, who are then, of course, abuse the International Monetary Fund and the World Bank, as you say, to rape the economies of nations throughout the world for decades. And if you haven't read John Perkins' book, Confessions of an Economic Hitman, or his new book, The Secret History of America's Empire, people need to get that. In my recent interviews with John Perkins, and we'll be interviewing him again, I think, again next week, and he lays out pretty well what's going on in the world, and it must be right, because the State Department has a whole section on their webpage called Misinformation, and a whole section on John Perkins and how he isn't telling you the truth. So when our State Department has a whole section trying to discredit him, you know he must be telling the truth.
Right. Well, it probably would be useful to kick around the topic of sovereignty just a bit, Dr. Stan.
All right, you go right ahead.
You brought that topic up in all this, and sovereignty is important. I did a presentation at this last conference that I went to on sovereignty in particular, and it challenged me in a lot of areas in preparation for it. And I learned there's a lot of pop philosophy in America about what sovereignty means, and they, you know, it's just misunderstanding, maybe just it's not clear. But I found a quote by a 17th century legal theorist by the name of Hugo Grotius, and he was one of the first people to write about sovereignty. This is what he said. This was something that the founding fathers were well aware of and greatly admired this legal expert. And he says, this, the way he puts it is, that power is called sovereign, whose actions are not subject to the legal control of another, so that they cannot be rendered void by the operation of another human will. And the more I read that definition, the more I just, it's brilliant. It's absolutely brilliant.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. And, Patrick, you want to pick up on that idea of sovereignty?
Well, yes. And just to reiterate, what Grotius said was that that power is called sovereign. That would, for instance, that could be us, whose actions are not subject to the legal control of another, so that they cannot be rendered void by the operation of another human will. And, you know, in the end of it, sovereignty is a matter of human will. And I like that, because when one person chooses to make life miserable for another person according to their willful actions, they take away the sovereignty of that person, the object of their own will. Well, I ran across a speech that was given just this last month by the head legal advisor to the Secretary of State, given to, in The Hague, actually in Europe. And he was talking to a group of people, and his name is John Bellinger. He's a legal advisor to the Secretary of State and principal advisor on all domestic and international law matters to the Department of State. He's the head guy. He's like the U.S. Trade Representative would be to trade. He is to law, to international law. He has a staff of 171 lawyers within the Department of State, so he's no slouch. He also, interestingly, cut his teeth, his legal teeth at Wilmer, Cutler, and Pickering. From 1991 to 1995, you remember that because Lloyd Cutler was a founding partner in that law firm, and he was a very prominent early member of the Trilateral Commission. He's deceased now. But anyway, Bellinger gave this speech, and in his speech, he said that last year, he says, I'll just quote, he says, we entered into 429 treaties and agreements last year alone. And just recently, this administration put forward a priority list of over 35 treaty packages, 35, that we have urged the Senate to approve soon, including the UN Convention on the Law of the Sea. And it occurred to me as I was reading the speech that this man's definition of rule of law is complete doublethink to what the average American understands, complete doublethink. What they mean when they say rule of law is international law. They disdain the nationalistic law, especially in a democracy, because it limits what they want to do in their global trade business. And so they have introduced international law into our country to the extent that international law is now being practiced in our courts. Most Americans don't understand this.
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment with Patrick Wood. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Patrick Wood. And before we go on, Patrick, I do want you to get your webpage out and let people know how they can get in touch with the August Review.
Well, certainly, Dr. Stan. The website that we have available is www.augustreview.com. And we are a publication of the World Research Library, of which I am the director, and also the editor of augustreview.com. It's free for anybody to come and read. We don't want to limit anybody from having access to our material. We accept donations and contributions at all times, of course. But, we invite people to come and learn about globalization. We want to, we're trying to be a one-stop shop, so to speak, where people can come and learn what they need to know about globalization in its broadest sense. And, there's very few places that you can see that on the internet. We searched ourselves, didn't find any. But back to the rule of law, there's a case in point that this Bellinger brought out in his speech that tells us exactly what's happening in our court system and how sovereignty is being broken down. And the case in point that he talked about was the International Court of Justice issued a decision sometime not too long ago called the Avena decision. It was Avena, A-V-E-N-A, was after the Mexican national that the case was rendered on. And the International Court of Justice ordered the United States to review cases of 51 Mexican nationals, illegal nationals, by the way, who had been convicted in American courts of atrocious capital crimes. And that includes, for instance, the murder of children and sexual crimes along with, you know, murder. And 51 Mexican nationals have been convicted in our courts of capital crimes, sentenced, put away. And what Bellinger says about this, he says, I mean, of course, he wanted to say, you know, who's the International Court of Justice? But here's what he says. He says, quote, the ICJ judgment required us to disregard the normal rules of procedure for our criminal courts in the United States. Quote, the president, acting on the advice of the Secretary of State, nonetheless decided to require each state involved to give the 51 convicts a new hearing. Close quote. This is what Bellinger says. And so then he goes on to say that the Texas happened to be the first test case. And that's the president's home state, of course. It's ironic. The Texas Court of Criminal Appeals made a ruling that the president, quote, had no power to intervene in its affairs, even to obtain compliance with an order of the ICJ. In other words, they told him, you know, to put it somewhere where the sun doesn't shine too much. And that's a proper ruling. They, you know, the president has no right, nor the ICJ any right, to tell Texas what to do with their criminal system. So what Bellinger goes on to say then is that the administration, and this is a direct quote, the administration has gone to the Supreme Court of the United States to reverse this decision. We expect a ruling from that court this time next year. So the State Department went, or the administration, I should say, through the State Department, has taken Texas's rebuff of the ICJ and the president telling them what to do, and they're taking it to the Supreme Court to argue with their 171 lawyers that he has under his command to argue the case that Texas must comply to give some of these, you know, the ones that they have in their custody case, some of these 51 Mexican nationals a new hearing.
Well, but I think
it's insane, Dr. Stan. Absolutely insane.
Well, no, it isn't if you look at it from their point of view.
Yeah,
there
from
are people
their point
here that, and I think it's so important that our listeners understand, there are people who look at the world differently.
Yes.
There is this belief, and it's been around for not just a few years, really for thousands of years, that we need a world government. And, of course, we need with that a new world religion and a new world leader. And that is the idea that has been passed down through the centuries and through the millennium and by these secret societies. And these ideas really began to surface they were here at the time America was created, in the 1600s and then the 1700s. But now they've really come to the fore. And the whole idea is to do away with the sovereignty of nations, to bring about a world court with world law, to bring about a world parliament, a world executive, a world legislature, a world police force, a world tax, and that's what the law of the sea is all about, because that will give them the ability to have their tax. They want world control over everybody.
Exactly.
And a world where no one will be able to buy or sell, yet lest they be known by the number of their name. This is not accidental. It is planned, and you can certainly read their writings. You can go back and read the writings of Richard Gardner in April of 1974 in Foreign Affairs magazine, where he talks about how we're going to have to do an end run around the Constitution to bring about this world government, and we're going to have to bring in the General Agreement on Tariff and Trade, GATT. And we're going to have the World Trade Organization and the Law of the Sea Treaty, 1974. Richard Gardner, member of the Council on Foreign Relations, Rhodes Scholar. These elitists believe that they know what's best for us common folks. They are very well rewarded They get a great deal of money, a great deal of power, but they have a different worldview. They have an intense hatred of America and our sovereignty and our freedom and the common people. They believe we need a feudal system. They're working rapidly to implement that. And, of course, the best way to do this is to get us into another war, to get us into a financial collapse, to destroy the infrastructure of our society, and then the people will meekly accept their rule, their kindness towards us. And people find it difficult to believe that this could be going on, and yet without nobody telling them. But the reason you don't hear this from our conservative or our liberal commentators is that they are paid to conceal, not to reveal the truth. That's why, of course, the information you get from Patrick Wood through the August Review is so vitally important. And, of course, I like to think the information we put out is important, too. There are only really a very, very few sources that will really tell you what's going on. And, of course, right now, we are on the edge of a financial catastrophe. We're on the edge of a third world war. We're going to war with Iran. It's only a matter of time. And as they say, there's only one thing worse than going to war, and that's losing a war. Go ahead, Patrick.
That's exactly, well, that's exactly right. It's a pretty darn good summation of it. While most of us in America have been focused on either fighting each other, liberals versus conservatives and so on, or blue versus red or whatever, we've been fighting each other, and we've been focused on fighting in Congress for this legislation or that legislation. And what nobody has seen is that our legal system has been completely compromised over a period of years. It's been completely compromised by hundreds of agreements, trade agreements, and treaties every year by the law of the United Nations, by courts like the International Court of Justice and others. These rules and regulations and laws have been backdoored through these massive numbers of treaties and agreements. And then they've been brought in and enforced by these sharp globalist lawyers. Judges have been browbeat by these things until they, figure that they have to accept it, and they just, their logic and mind has been twisted, I think, until they just figure they have to accept it. And so now, around our country, across our country, cases are being decided, mixed in now with international law that was never a part of U.S. law by our Congress in the first place. This has been very reminiscent, by the way, and this is my opinion in the case, this is very reminiscent of what I call him a friend, I say that lightly, but Richard Gardner's 1974 treatise called The Hard Road to World Order.
That's what I was just referring to in Foreign Affairs, April 1974, Foreign Affairs. Let's go to Ed, who's calling us from Calgary. Ed, did you have a quick comment on what we're talking about?
Yes, good evening, gentlemen. Earlier you were talking about the cashless society, and I just thought I'd partake a comment here. Back in April, my landlord notified me that he wanted attorney, power of attorney, to go into my bank and collect the rent. And the form he gave me was sort of like asking me to sign a blank check, and I wouldn't have any of it. I brought it to the attention of the provincial attorney general, and the point I'm making here is that some communication between me and the landlord confirmed that it was having to do with cash. Like, I insisted that from here on in, I would pay my rent in cash. And he was as equally adamant that he would no longer accept it. So I came up with the word coercion, and New Webster defines it as government by force. And basically, that's all I wanted you to know right now. You can digest it the way you want.
All right. I think, Ed, of course, that we're going to see this increasingly. They really want us to go ahead, and everything will be done with a credit card. I don't know whether you have on your television up there the ads that they've run down here about this fellow's, in this store, and everything's running so efficiently, and everybody's running around, and then he gets up to the counter and to pay. Everybody else is using a credit card. He wants to pay in cash, and suddenly the horrified look on everybody's face, and everything stops. Why, he's
Canada,
using cash.
Yes, Canadians are world leaders in using the debit card.
Right.
Anyway, I didn't mean to break into your very serious conversation. Have a great night, and God bless you.
And you too. Thanks so much, Ed. Get the rest of the people up there in Calgary listening.
Bye-bye. Yes, I will. You
bye bet. Bye-bye. And, of course, I think that this is sort of a universal thing. Go ahead there, Patrick.
Yes, it is. And I would, in that you have some Canadian listenership, I would like to commend the many Canadians who understand what's going on in North America right now with the so-called deep integration. That's their phrase for it. We call it the North American Union, the Security and Prosperity Partnership. The phrase they use, and it's from the literature of the people in America as well, but they call it deep integration. What that means is that America, Mexico, and the United States are being merged together. And Canadians, some conservatives, some liberals, some very left-wing, are very keen on this right now. And my hat's off to them for recognizing a spade as a spade when they see it. And they're making a voice. They're making themselves known up there. Would that we could have, percentage-wise, the same kind of voice down here.
Well, I think we're getting more and more people really are becoming aware of what's going on, and thank goodness for the alternative radio we have, and many, many people, certainly Lou Dobbs is doing a great job of calling people's attention to it. I think that there are a lot of things to be optimistic about now. I think that more and more people know something is wrong. They're just looking for somebody who's got answers, and of course you have the answers, and certainly I believe we have a lot of the answers, and we can begin to put this together so people can put it into perspective. This is not a new idea. It's been around for a long period of time. But these people have an entirely different worldview. They are elitist with no loyalty to America. Once you understand that, and once you understand they work through organizations like the ones you have written about so extensively, the Council on Foreign Relations, which is a front for a secret society that was created back in 1921 or 22, it was a front for a secret society actually was created in 1891, and then the CFR was created here in the United States in 1921. And until people understand that this, every Secretary of State, since I think Christian Herter, has come from the Council on Foreign Relations. How could that happen? Democrats, Republicans, doesn't matter who's in the White House, doesn't matter which party's in control, the same forces, the same people control both political parties. They control the great tax-exempt foundations. They control most of the media. They control many of our great corporations and banks. Once people begin to understand that they all belong to the same little group, the Council on Foreign Relations, then if they're really good, then they get to join the Trilateral Commission.
Yes. And as you know, I personally maintain that the Trilateral Commission, with its small membership of only about 300 worldwide, is the real dog that wags the tail. Represented by the CFR. CFR is a large organization now. It's also basically just a North American organization. The Trilateral Commission is truly global now, as it has members from all over the world, but especially from North America, Japan and Asia, and Europe, and a few from the Mideast now. But this very small global organization represented by, I think it's about 340 people now. That 340 people from around the world dominate policy in those parts of the world completely. An example of that is that the Trilateral Commission overlap with the Council on Foreign Relations. Something like half the directors of Council on Foreign Relations are members of the Trilateral Commission. Half the executive committee is members of the Trilateral Commission. And they dominate that group at this point. And 100%? No, but 80-90% for sure. And these people are making decisions for us based on their global philosophy or their global consensus that they have with their other partners in other parts of the world. And so everywhere you turn, you see these people show up in the top positions. And, you see cabinet positions, the top positions like the U.S. Trade Representative, Secretaries of State, the vice president, the president, you know, Bill Clinton was a member of the Trilateral Commission, so was Jimmy Carter, so was George H.W. Bush, so was Dick Cheney, and they pretty much dominated the executive branch in our country.
Well, I think Barry Goldwater said it, Barry Goldwater said it best in his book, With No Apologies. He said their goal was to take over the financial and commercial interests of the entire world.
Yes.
By first taking over the government of the United States. They were formed in 73. They recruited Jimmy Carter. He became the first trilateral president. Certainly the second president they controlled was Ronald Reagan through George Bush, who was a member of the Trilateral Commission, who controlled the executive branch of government for 12 years.
Yes.
First as certainly the first aide as vice president, the second four as president, followed by another member of the Trilateral Commission, Bill Clinton, who was there for 8 years, and now, of course, we have Dick Cheney controlling it, and, of course, he had to drop out, but don't you worry, his wife has took his place in the Trilateral Commission. So this small group of people control our government. Doesn't matter if it's the Democrats, doesn't matter if it's the Republicans, it's always the same policy, and they're dedicated to the destruction of the sovereignty of the United States. The New World Order, the New World Religion, the New World Leader.
Yeah.
Well, Patrick, you've got 3 minutes to wrap up the program. Is there anything else you'd like to say about the Bank for International Settlements or where we're headed financially as a nation?
Well, Dr. Stan, I think we said it all, but I would like to just give a, you know, a word of encouragement to anybody who might be listening. And it is a pretty bleak picture that we paint here. And, you know, I wouldn't want people to be, you know, completely without hope. They need to know that there are many tens of thousands of Americans across our country that that understand what's going on, that are not willing just to roll over and die. It's not that we can necessarily turn it around, but there's a wonderful old song that was first a poem written by Hammerstein, and it's a wonderful old poem, Dr. Stan. It says, give me some men who are stout-hearted men who will fight for the right they adore. Start me with 10 who are stout-hearted men, and I'll soon give you 10,000 more. Shoulder to shoulder and boulder to boulder, they grow as they go to the fore. And that's,
then there's nothing in the world that can halt or mar a plan. When it started, how did men stand together, man to man?
So we certainly need to have men of courage stand up and be counted for what they're worth, rather than just roll over and die. And I fully realize that we may not win any short-term or long-term or intermediate-term battle here. But nevertheless, those who would call themselves true Americans need to rise to the occasion and become stout-hearted men and say, no, we will not go along with this. We will not accept this. And if they come and take you away, then they come and take you away. But, you know, just to roll over and die is just a sad, sad thing, because you'll never look your children in the eye again. You'll never look your grandchildren in the eye and say, you knew it was coming, but I didn't do anything. You'll be ashamed until the day you die. And so there's a great call going out, I think, Dr. Stan, for some stout-hearted men to stand up, have courage, and stand up and do the right thing and to say the right thing. And, you know, God knows that you're one of those stout-hearted men who's been saying this for years, unafraid of the consequences, unafraid of the circumstances that it might bring into your life. And, you know, would that many, many thousands would be spawned to do the same thing around our country. I think it would be a wonderful thing.
Well, thank you very much for being with us. And I mean, we have a voice, and there are many other voices being raised out there. I just hope and pray before long that all these voices will join together into a mighty chorus. And, of course, the American people will take a stand for sovereignty and freedom. God bless you. Thanks very much for being with us.
Thank you, Dr. Stan.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this evening, Patrick Wood. I hope you enjoyed our discussion. And, of course, you can go up on the Internet and get copies of Ambrose Evans Pritchard. That's Ambrose Evans Pritchard of the Financial Times has written an excellent analysis of the Bank for International Settlements report, and we recommend that to you. We stand on the brink of serious financial problems. We stand on the brink of the crumbling of the infrastructure of our society and our economy, because the traitors in Washington, D.C. are intentionally sending our jobs, sending our factories, sending our wealth overseas. We are borrowing money so we can give it to our enemies. Why would anybody do that? Massive amounts of money are being sent to both Russia and China today to build up their economies, and that's money that your grandchildren are going to have to pay. If you have not yet read my my March, April, and May newsletters, let me recommend them to you. That's RadioLiberty.com. You must read them, and hopefully you want to get copies and pass them out. We need to let people understand that we are our leaders are betraying this nation and sending our wealth, not their wealth, but our wealth to our enemies in preparation for the coming war. When you understand that, then things really begin to make sense. You really need to understand the past. You need to get studying my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. You need to get Professor Sutton's book, Wall Street and the Rise of Hitler. Wall Street and the Bolshevik Revolution. My interview with Professor Sutton, The Best Enemies Money Could Buy. His book, The Best Enemies Money Could Buy. This information is available from Radio Liberty, and of course you can actually get my March newsletter in large numbers if you will want to for passing out. And that is simply Professor Sutton's testimony before the Republican National Committee back in 1972 in the midst of the Vietnam War, pointing out that we were financing the communists in Russia, who were financing the North Vietnamese, who were financing the South Vietnamese, who were killing our boys in the rice paddies and the villages of South Vietnam. And you say, that doesn't make sense. Well, a lot of what's going on doesn't make sense unless you understand the spiritual forces that energize this movement, and that's why you need, of course, to analyze my book very carefully, Brotherhood of Darkness, to get our talk on the forbidden secret. And those two things together will give you tremendous insight. Then, of course, the DVD, The Secret Mysteries of America's Beginning, the DVD, Riddles in Stone, the DVD, The Emergence by Constance Cumby, as she talks about her study that goes back to 1980, almost 27 years now. Constance has been studying the New Age movement and the fact that there are literally millions of people in America and hundreds of millions of people throughout the world waiting for the emergence of the New World Leader, the emergence of the New World Leader, as are the people over in Iran today waiting for the return of the Mahdi, as they are in India waiting for the return of Krishna, as they are in Buddhist countries waiting for Maitreya, as they are in certainly in the Muslim countries waiting for the Mahdi, and in the Jewish countries waiting for the Messiah, and here we wait for the return of Jesus Christ. But behind everything going on today are powerful spiritual forces. And so our plea to you is understand that we're involved in a spiritual battle being fought on a political, ideological, and cultural battlefield. You need to get our material on the supernatural, 4-tape set on Satanism and deliverance, our book on satanic crimes, on Diary of a Devil Hunter, so much material available from Radio Liberty. Go to our website at RadioLiberty.com. Listen to our programs regularly, and then pray for America. Pray for revival on number 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion and delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you, the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, the views of our guests. And, well, our guest this evening was to have been Lou Upton, who's a cultural host over in the Las Vegas area, has been trying for years to wake the people up over there and doing a really great job of it, and certainly one of my favorite people. And he was supposed to be with us this evening, but for some reason or other, why, there's no response. So guess what? We're going to have open lines this evening. So if you're out there in the listening audience and you have something you would like to talk about, my telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. So give us a call. Otherwise, we have a lot of dead air this next hour. Well, let me just share something with you that I was thinking of, certainly on Sunday evening. I always, of course, usually take a nap from 6 to 7, and then I get up and I watch the CBS 60 Minutes because I want to know what the enemy is doing. And, of course, the CBS has 60 Minutes is a very provocative program. It is designed to control your reality, designed to control how you look at the world. And of course, on Sunday evening, they had an interview with a fellow named Darby, named Sergeant Darby, and I believe that was the name of his name anyway. He was the sergeant who had broken the case at Abu Ghraib. And basically what had happened, at least according to the 60-minute interview, was the fact that he had actually talked to one of the MPs over there. He was actually working the desk with an MP battalion that had come from a small, the Middle West town. And he asked one of the other fellows he knew there do you have any pictures I'd like to send home to show people what it's like over here? And the fellow said, sure, I've got them here on this CD. Why don't you take it? And so he gave him the CD, and there were a lot of pictures of what life was like in Iraq. And then here were all the pictures of this horrible treatment of and human degradation of the prisoners. Well, Darby looked at that and said, this is wrong. I mean, it doesn't matter how you feel about the people, they're human beings, and we're Americans, and we don't treat people like that. And so he actually put this into a sealed envelope and took it over to the Criminal Investigation Division, knowing full well it would create a problem, but he didn't want to be associated with it at all. He just left it off there, and of course, within a few minutes, they were coming to him and asking where he got it. And he told them, but he said, you've got to promise me that you'll keep my identity secret, because they could kill me if, of course, the information came out, what this is all about. And so eventually this is what really led to the entire Abu Ghraib exposure and the fact that we were torturing people. But the Army had those pictures. Nobody else had them. And the Army released those pictures for a very specific reason, to turn the world against the United States. And the entire purpose of what had happened there on that program was to distract from the fact that the orders for the torture had come from above. Now, of course, that is not brought out at all on the 60-minute presentation. But there was a two-star general, Filipino general, who was given the job of investigating what had happened to Abu Ghraib, and it was his conclusion that it went right all the way up to the very top, the Secretary of Defense, and this program was put on to deflect that. Oh, it was just some bad actors there in the military police contingency. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and right now we have on the line Lou Upton, our good friend, Hi, Lou. How are you doing tonight?
Hello?
Hi, Lou. How are you doing?
Dr. Sam, good evening. I'm doing well. Thank you.
All right, fine. Well, now, you wanted to, we're going to talk about the immigration problem?
I think so. And, boy, it's perfect timing because the traitorous Senate so far seems to be being bought off.
All right, fine. What happened today? We know, of course, that they're bribing our senators. The President of the United States is making offers to compensate people with vast sums of money to be given to their districts, you know, for their vote. That's buying votes. How is that any different than any other bribe?
Oh, boy. You know, we have Senator Ensign, who was supposed to be a conservative Republican, who was totally against this bill up until about 3 days ago, and he caved. But he's one of a number of them that they somehow reached, and it's not a little bit what they say until the fat lady sings, but I think she's warming up her voice.
Well, I think, of course, the thing we have to understand is we're supposed to have a representative government. We're supposed to have representatives and senators who represent the will of the people, and the vast majority of the American people are against the amnesty bill because that's what it is.
They know that. They could care less.
Well, I think, of course, the thing is that what we have is not, pardon me, government by the people. We have a government from the top down. We have powerful people in the executive branch of government who twist arms and bribe members of the Senate and give them rewards for not representing what's good for the country, but for what the executive branch of government wants, and that is to do away with the sovereignty of America, because the amnesty bill is part of the stepping stone, says the security and prosperity partnership and doing away with our sovereignty towards actually, of course, merging the United States with Mexico and Canada.
Yeah, and they're well underway. You know, they postponed the Mexican trucks coming across our country by a month. It was supposed to have started in the middle of July. I understand they postponed it to August, but it's coming. And the Security Prosperity Partnership never went through Congress. It was all done between Bush and his counterparts in both Canada and Mexico.
Well, I think it actually is even, it's mentioned somehow in this amnesty bill. First time we've seen any mention of it at all. But, of course, now whether that's in this form of it or not, but I know it was mentioned in that for the first time. Hold it a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest this evening is Lou Epton. And we're talking about, well, we're talking about, of course, the amnesty bill, which is simply a nail in the coffin of the sovereignty of the United States.
Right.
And, of course, the whole idea is to actually create a multicultural, multilingual society, to bring in massive numbers of illegal aliens, to bankrupt our economy and our social welfare system, to dilute, of course, the workforce and to drive down wages here, but much more than that, to do away with the sovereignty of our nation and to merge us economically and politically with both Mexico and Canada. So you pick up the story there.
Well, you know, that's only part of it, because the end plan is world domination, and they're doing it a step at a time. Now they've got the European Union. We'll be the equivalent of the American Union, or by whatever name. They'll do the same thing with Asia. These societies that very few of people ever have heard of, that even fewer people discuss publicly, from Skull and Bones to the Bilderbergs to the Trilateral Commission to the CFR, they're all tied together. You know, I had an interesting guest on the show today by the name of John Diamond, and he wrote an outstanding publication, The Next Revolution, and it's the first of a series of three books. And his second one, which should be out in about a month, has to do with the morality of our nation. But this first one went back to what the founders gave us and gave up to give us the freedom that we're supposedly having. And I must tell you, I mean, the nation, our nation, originally was Judeo-Christian, and it was a wonderful place for the first 150 years, at least. on the surface. And then the federal government, which was supposed to be confined to a very small area, started expanding and telling the states that states' rights isn't the thing that they want, and they'll pay us a great deal of money if we'll give up this right and that right as states. And we've been foolish enough to fall for it. And we've got so many illegal organizations behind this, from the IRS and just about every organization that the government proposes is a private corporation. But the money corporation, the
Federal Reserve Board.
Thank you. The Federal Reserve was a tragedy. But very few people even care anymore. And that, when I say care, let me rephrase that. I think very few people are aware of the treasonous people we have allowed in office, from the Oval Office to the state offices, up and down the line. And, you know, he dedicated his book to his son with the hope that the world he grew up in would be a better place. And it was just, it was one of those mornings when I was talking to him. It just, one thing after another, it just all fell into place. And so few people, you know, the average person, I shouldn't say this, but too many people today think that they're living in freedom. And as long as they have a beer and a remote and some kind of a job, they've got it all. They have no idea what they have already lost and probably what they're about to lose. And now there's talk about conservative radio. You know, there's too much conservative radio. Well, there's no law against liberals doing broadcasting, but every attempt they've made has been a dismal failure. Obviously, the public, in this regard, likes what they're hearing, those who listen. But even these people who are the biggest names in talk radio are afraid to mention what's really going on behind the scenes, and so much more is going on behind the scenes, and things that will affect every one of us in a much more dramatic fashion than what we get on media-controlled news.
If I
sound a little frustrated, forgive me, I probably am.
Well, that's all right, Lou. I think it's very easy to get, knowing as much as you do, it's very easy to be frustrated today. But at least you have a voice, and I have a voice, and of course our voices are echoed by people all across America, some with small audiences and some with large audiences that are trying to get the truth out. Now, of course, you have your Rush Limbaughs, your Sean Hannitys, your Michael Medved, and these, of course, I like to refer to as the bought people.
Yeah.
They're paid fabulous sums of money not to reveal the truth, but to conceal the truth from the American people.
You know, I must say, Dr. Stan, I have such tremendous regard, respect for yourself and the great efforts you put forward with the amount of speaking you do, with the regular broadcasting you do. I know you've got a full plate, that you're busy as can be, and I just hope that more people start paying attention to everything you're saying. And, you know, not that they should take your word for anything or my word. Heck, the evidence is there if they'll just take the time to verify it.
Well, I guess the thing is that they have to realize that this is a very real problem that's going to influence them. And that we're going to have to tell people the truth. And people say, well, I don't want to believe that. And, of course, the information we're putting out is really rather frightening, because we're suggesting that the America we have known and loved and grown up in really no longer exists, and we're headed towards a fascist dictatorship. And people don't like to hear that. They don't like to hear they have a cancer. They don't like to hear they're growing older. They don't like to hear bad news.
Well,
but we have to tell them.
By golly, unless they start paying attention, they're going to wake up one day in the not very far future and say, what the heck happened? How did we get to this? Because, you know, the old expression, the three kinds of people, the ones that make things happen, the ones that watch things happen, and then the vast majority, the people that say, what happened?
Amen to that. And that's where that's about 98% of the people are saying they have no idea. But I believe that that number is dwindling. I believe more and more people are beginning to catch a glimpse of what's going on. And many of them, actually, I would have to say, are on the radical left. That's all right. They love America. They don't understand at all, but they know something is seriously wrong. And I think it's about time we're sometimes going to have to join hands with people we don't necessarily agree with on many issues. But on those things we do agree with, we're going to have to work with them. Well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. If you have a question for Lou about the immigration issue, because this is one of the major issues of today. And, of course, the immigration legislation. And it is amnesty legislation. Don't let them fool you. It's not. And they are talking about, you know, 12 million. They have no idea how many.
They've got over 30 million illegals right now all across this country. Over 30 million, if they wanted to be honest about it. And those figures are verifiable.
And I really think you're probably a lot more accurate than their figures. But they don't want to tell the American people because the implications, what will this do to our Social Security system? And all of these people, of course, now will be allowed to remain here. They'll become eligible for automatically for their welfare. They'll get their food stamps. They'll get their free medical care. They'll get the free education. They'll get housing subsidies. In fact, if they submit an income tax form and they don't make sufficient money, they can even get a refund. I mean, this is the greatest scam of all time.
And we're paying for it. You know, if there was a way we could tell the public what it's costing each individual in our nation a year to support the illegals, then I think there'd be a very loud outcry.
Well, of course, if these were people who were highly skilled, these were people who would have a great deal to contribute to our economy, if they'd be paying large sums of money into the welfare system, it'd be different. But they're not.
No.
I mean, some of them are working under the table. A lot of them are working for very low wages. And, of course, they're taking the money that they make, shipping it back to Mexico. And the largest source of income for the Mexican economy is money flowing in from the United States.
That's right. You know, it's become all a cliche anymore. Anyone who has to fly, be it business or pleasure, goes and has to jump through hoops before they get on the airline. Now, that's for security. Okay? They keep telling us we're making ourselves very, very secure, and yet the damn border's wide open. And nobody seems to care. And then we punish the Border Patrol for doing their job.
Well, it's very obvious that the administration is not concerned about the terrorists coming across the border. If they were, they would have sealed it, you know, in the year 2001. So obviously, they don't believe what they're telling the American people, that the terrorists are going to follow us home here, and that's why we've got to fight them on the streets of Baghdad. Either that or they're going to follow us home. Well, why haven't they already followed us home? If I was a terrorist and I wanted to get back in America, I wouldn't be fighting over there in Baghdad. I would come across the border and start blowing up things in America. But they're not doing it because most of what we're told about the threat of Islamic terrorism just is not true.
That's right.
And, of course,
you talk about terror, Dr. Stan. Have you ever spoken to David von Kleist?
Yes, we had him on today.
Well, you know that. His new video, 9/11 Ripple Effect, there's no doubt left. I mean, the evidence is there. I wish I was wrong. I keep asking people, please show me where I am wrong. And the one thing I've been very blessed with is having guests such as yourself with me on my daily program. Because that's where I've learned so many, many more things than I would have ever known. I'm not the smart one. But when I have people, again, like yourself and David and John Diamond and
Hold that thought just there for a moment. And our guest is Lou Epton, and he does a great job at his program over there in Las Vegas. And of course, I've had the privilege of being on with him a few times. And he interviews a lot of great guests there. But you go ahead and pick up the story there, Lou.
Sir?
You go right ahead.
Oh, I was just saying, you put the pieces of the puzzle together, and you don't get a very attractive picture, but you get a very complete picture of what literally is going on. You know, I'm older, Dr. Stan, and I remember what life used to be like back in the 50s and 60s, all right? The strength of our nation was in the family. The family. A father, a mother, and the children. And the mother was at home. And kids were disciplined. Children were taught. And then, what was it, 64, when they took prayer out of the school. I think I'm right about that. I know I'm within a year, either way. And it's been downhill ever since. I mean, now, people are all but afraid to say, I'm a Christian, or I believe in the Lord Jesus, because people will stare at you like you're some kind of a stranger. Come the holidays in December, you can't even have a creek. Okay, you cannot commemorate the birth of Jesus. Now, abortion is a wonderful thing for women because, hey, they've got a choice. And homosexuality, they're working hard to prove it's a very normal lifestyle. Well, forgive me, I don't agree with either one. But then, as I ask many people as I go through the day's activities, is this the same society you grew up in? And I've never heard anyone say, you bet it is, because it isn't. And we're losing more of our liberties and our freedoms on a regular basis. And you try and get people to think about what's going on, to take a look at what's happening in our world. And as you said, they're afraid to admit. They don't want to know. They'd rather just keep their head in the sand. But it's not a very good future, especially if you have children or grandchildren. For them, it's not a very good future.
Well, of course, what we have to do is get people to understand what's going on and why. Well, let's go to a gentleman. Maybe you even know him. His name is Jeff, and he's calling from, of all places, Las Vegas. Hi, Jeff. How are you doing?
Really good. How are you doing, Dr. Stan?
I'm doing fine. Do you listen to Lou Upton?
Did I listen to it?
Well, basically, Lou Upton's our guest tonight. He does the talk show over there in Las Vegas where you live.
Oh, really? Okay. I haven't heard him here before, but I'm here on business.
All right.
It's the first time I've heard him, but look, here's my question.
All right, fine.
This amnesty bill, now, look, does it really matter whether it passes or it doesn't pass? Really, it's just a piece of paper. I mean, in my mind, and I may be wrong about this, but it looks to me like they may be just gauging whether or not they can shove this thing down the people's throat, because regardless of whether or not it passes or does not pass, that border's going to remain open, isn't it?
Well, it would, but of course the thing is that if you really wanted, of course, to stop what's going on, you would enforce our laws. You would, of course, try to block the... But you would actually go after the employers who are hiring people illegally. And all you would have to do would be to make an example out of a few of them, and they would quit hiring illegals, there would be no jobs, and most of the people would go back home again. It is because we recruit. This is Dr. Stan, and of course our guest this evening is Lou Upton, and we have Jeff calling from Las Vegas, and he's saying, well, does it really matter, this legislation? It's
absolutely
just a piece of paper,
and
I'm saying...
It matters a great, great deal. And if he wants to know, you know, I've had people like Frosty Woolrich and Terry Anderson and how many more who have a great deal of information on the tremendous impact this illegal invasion is already having on our country. And if he would, I'm on the air daily at 11 a.m. on a.m. 1230.
Okay, wait a minute. 11 a.m. Yeah, I tried to get that. Okay, I must have turned it on at 10 a.m. I will listen to it tomorrow. But, Lou, I just want to let you know that your message, you sound a little discouraged, is not falling on deaf ears. A lot of my friends have heard your show before in Vegas. They really like your show. You know, when you walk through your local, supermarket, you may think that you're looking at pretty much the Walking Dead, but believe me, there's a lot of us out here that really appreciate what you're doing.
Well, I thank you kindly for those nice words. Let me say that, Doc, you know, I've been out here in Vegas since 1991. I've moved around a little bit for whatever reason, but where I am now is where I began back in 1991, and it's been quite an adventure. It's become a calling for me because I care, and I know a lot of people do. You know, Dr. Sen, I've mentioned, it wasn't all that long ago I had the opportunity to drive across our nation. And I must say, even though we don't feel it or see it, that the majority, the great majority of American people are God-fearing, hard-working, good people. They're just not being due diligent. And because of mainstream control of what they see on their television, what they read in their daily press, they're not talking about the things that affect each and every one of us. In Las Vegas alone, the money we have spent building new schools to house the illegals has been phenomenal. And it's not just in Las Vegas, it's Los Angeles is no different. I got to believe most any area of the nation today could make that same comment. I know in L.A., up until this invasion began, they were closing schools because they didn't have the student body to fill them. And now everybody is scrambling to build and build and build, and then you've got to go out and hire bilingual teachers, even though we've been basically an English-speaking nation. But that seems to be now a thing of the past.
Well, because there is people who are behind this have a different vision of a different America, because they don't believe in the America that you and I and Jeff love. They have a different view. They believe in a multicultural, multilingual society. And they really want to bring together all the peoples of the world in this one wonderful, happy society. And the thing is, it doesn't work. You're far better off, of course, with people that you have a kinship for. The Muslims want to live with Muslims. And the Christians want to live with Christians. And the Jews want to live with Jews. And if they don't want to live with Jews, let them live where they want to. But don't take away from them the right to do what they want to do. And that's what it's all about. The elite feel that they know what's best for all of us. Jeff, did you have anything else you wanted to say before we let you go?
Yeah, I just had one last question for Lou, and I'll let you go then. The question is this. Now, I hear a lot of talk, I've heard a lot of talk about, well, we need to crack down on these employers that are hiring illegal aliens. And, I definitely go along with that, but I work in a business where what happens is they'll hire one individual, and that individual will go to, for example, a local Home Depot or a local gathering place. So you've got one individual driving, and it fills up a van full of possibly 10 illegals. There's no way to track these people. So I would disagree that the only way to correct the problem is only to go after these employers. You've got to have some guarding on the border also, and then you also have to cut off the welfare system as a lure. If you do those three things, I think it would work. But one without the other two, I don't think would work.
You're absolutely right, Jeff.
Yeah.
No question.
The laws are already on the books. They've been there for however long. They're not new. We've already got the laws in place. The government just doesn't want to abide by its own laws.
Because
you want to clear the nation of the illegals? Cut off their benefits for what?
Absolutely.
Stop the welfare. Stop the free medical. Stop the free education and the benefits therein. I mean, just stop all of this, and you will be amazed how fast they'll run home back to wherever it was they came from. And this is not a
hold that thought there, Lou. Hold that thought.
I mean,
hold that thought. Hold that thought.
Sir? Hello?
Hold that thought.
I can barely hear you, Doc.
Hold the thought.
Okay.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and my guest is Lou Upton. Go ahead, Lou. No, we just have to, we have to take these little breaks from time to time. You know how that goes. Lou, are you there? Lou, did we lose you?
I'm here.
Go right ahead.
Oh, okay. No, you know this. You probably know it better than I do. We've got the laws already on the books. I mean, there are fines for companies that knowingly hire the illegals. Nowhere in the Constitution, which too few people are even familiar with, does it say we've got to support the illegal immigrants who come into our country knowing they're breaking the laws. You know, if we went to Mexico or anywhere else, do you think they would afford us the kind of services and treatment that we are currently affording them? Not by a long shot.
Well, I think Jeff's point was very, very well taken. He said we've got to cut off the welfare benefits. I mean, you can come up here and you can get food stamps. You can get free education for your children.
I can barely hear you.
Oh, well, let's see. I'm going to have to ask my secretary or my producer to call you back. Can you hear me now or not? You can't hear me very well?
Not very well at all. I apologize.
I'm just going to have my secretary call you right back again. I'm going to hang up. You hang up. We'll call you right back, okay?
Okay.
Okay, fine. So I'm going to ask my producer to call Lou back again. And we're going to, I hope I don't lose our John calling from New York. Well, let's see now what happens when we push this off. All right, fine. We've got John from New York. Hi, John. How are you doing?
Hello, Dr. Stan. Thank you for taking my call.
Yeah, you have a question or comment here?
I have a question. You are so well informed, and your program is very, very interesting. There are others out there that have the same outlook and the same input on what's going on in this country. My question is this. What is the solution? We know what all the problems are, but what is the solution?
You're talking now about as far as the immigration is concerned?
Oh, I'm talking about all the problems in this country. Our government is our worst enemy. We have no loyalty in government to the nation. I totally agree with you, Paulin, that immigration is certainly a big problem. But our government seems to me it's a big conspiracy to overthrow this country. And what are the people in this country to do to get rid of this whole mess that we got?
Well, John, for Lou, we're just talking to John, who just called in from New York. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and John, hang on there for a minute.
Sure.
I want to give Lou a chance to get his information out, and then we'll get right back to your question, because, of course, that gets right to the very core of what our issues are. Again, I want to invite callers, if you'd like to talk to our guest. My telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Lou, do you have a web page or anything you'd like to get out here?
Lou, Epton, Epton, show.com. LouEptonShow.com. And as you know, Doc, we stream the show. And if they go to my website, they just simply have to press the button that says listen. And they'll be able to enjoy the show or hear the show almost any and everywhere in the world.
All right, fine. Now, John was calling from New York, and his question was, what are we going to do about this? I mean, most people value freedom, but how are we going to solve the problem? Not simply of immigration, but all the problems that we face today. Well, there is a common thread behind everything going on, as you've heard me say so many times. There are a group of people who have a different worldview. They want a one-world government. They want a one-world religion. They want a one-world leader. Now, these people control the wealth of the world. And they are bound together because they worship a different God. This is one of the hardest things for people to understand. But they really have an entirely different worldview. And many of them, of course, are graduates of our finest universities. They're Rhodes Scholars. They had our great corporations. They had our great banks. They had our great foundations. They had our great universities. And they belong to these elite organizations. What we have to do, you see, there are a lot more of us than there are of them. And we really have to expose them, and expose them for what they are. They are traitors to America. Now, you can certainly, believe whatever you want to in a free society, but when you swear to uphold the Constitution, and you take that oath as an elected member of government, or you go to work for government, and you swear to defend it against all enemies, foreign and domestic, and you are intent upon destroying it, then you become a traitor, and you should be tried for treason. You should be tried for perjury. You should be tried for taking an oath and joining our government, of course, when you intend to destroy it. So the first thing we need to do is clarify what America is all about. And we have to teach people about the essence of our Constitution, that the founders of our country did not trust people. They wanted to restrict the power of the central government and maintain the power at the state and the local level. And these people who are intent upon violating the oath that they've sworn and centralizing power in a centralized authority should be tried as traitors. And if you actually read the definition of terrorist and the laws that they have passed, those who want to change our form of government are terrorists. So these people then would qualify as terrorists, and maybe we ought to have some mass trials in America and toss these people out of government. Now, I'm not idealistic enough to believe that's really going to happen right now. Well, I think we have to educate the American people and let them understand what's at stake and how they've taken us from war to war. How the Vietnam War was a phony war. There never was a Gulf of Tonkin incident. All those young men who fought so courageously and died so bravely died for nothing because the Gulf of Tonkin incident was staged. And if they staged that and got away with it, what about what's happening recently? We have to educate people, John, and that's why I do what I do 5 hours a day. And what you can do is get people to understand. Now, we are moving into a crisis situation, and economically, morally, I believe we're moving into a war in the Middle East. And what we need to do is reach our military and reach our police and reach their families and get people to understand freedom. But the most important thing we can do is get people to understand this is a spiritual battle. And what we need to do is get our people back to a belief in the God that we worshipped at one time in this country. And if we don't have a great revival in America, I do not believe America will survive as a free nation. I don't see any signs of it. But I do what I do in the vain hope, and I hope it's not a vain hope, that the people of this country will return to the faith of their fathers, and we will have a third great awakening, as we had a first great awakening in 1730 and a second great awakening in 1830. Well, it's not quite 2030, but I think we could sure do with another great awakening today.
If our nation lasts that long.
Amen to that.
Now, next year is another election year, and I got to believe most all of Congress is up for re-election.
And we ought to throw just about all of them out. John, did you have any other questions?
Every one of them out. I would not, the good, the bad, whatever, I would get rid of every one. I would never elect an attorney. I would not allow an attorney in the
What you say is so absolutely true to educate people. Now, I'm a nightclub entertainer. And when I go out and play some of these restaurants, the people that come in there, including their wives now, something that you never seen years ago back in the 40s and 50s, at least the 50s anyway, they come in and they're so involved with sports. They come in and the first thing they look at on one of the four or five televisions that are usually in all these restaurants today, the first thing that they can tell you everything that goes on with somebody that can throw a football around, but they could, half of them couldn't even tell you who the governor of their state is.
I know.
The Great Diversion.
Oh, right.
Yeah, the Romans used that, too, back in
the arenas.
Keep the people's mind off of what is really going on.
Exactly.
Watch the left hand while the right hand is destroying everything you stand for.
But the thing, John, if you're a nightclub entertainer, try to use, do you do stand-up comics, or how do you entertain?
Oh, I'm a keyboard player. I play dinner music in finer restaurants, you know, the nicer restaurants, not the bar rooms.
Okay.
The people that I talk to, believe me, if anybody's going to get assassinated in this state, it'll probably be me, the way I bring things up.
Well, just keep on doing it, because basically, you know, you may not think people are paying much attention, but they remember what you say. And maybe they'll hear somebody else say the same thing, or maybe they'll hear Lou or me or somebody else on the radio, and something will click, and will come on.
I've asked a lot of people. I says, "Have you ever heard of Dr. Stan?" And they say, "Who's he?" And I say, "Have you ever heard of Hal Lindsey or Jack Van Eppy or J.R. Church or anybody?" They don't even know who I'm talking about.
Well,
when I bring up all these facts to them that you bring out and your guests, as Lou is bringing out now, all this information, and I try to bring this out to them, they'll sit there and look at me until a guy is going to tee off at the golf shot, you know, in a golf.
Yeah.
And that's it. They don't want to hear any more. I mean, they're trying to be nice in a courteous way, but not in a positive way.
Well, one of the good things you can do is simply ask them a question. What would you do, for instance, if the economy collapsed tomorrow? What would happen out of all of your savings? Ask a question. Sometimes,
oh, I do.
And just keep at it, John. That's all we can do. That's what we're called to do. We're not called to win. We're called to do our best.
Yeah. Well, I certainly enjoy your show. I listen to you every night, and first time I've ever called you. But you're very informative, and I really love your show, and your guests, too.
God bless. Thanks very much,
John.
Thank you
so much. And by the way, to all of your listeners, Dr. Stan, if they have not yet gotten your book, The Brotherhood of Darkness, is outstanding reading. It answers so many questions. It gives people an insight as to what's going on in their country.
God bless you. Thanks so much.
Okay, thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right, fine. Well, our telephone number, of course, is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And our guest for this hour is Lou Upton, who is a patriot, who's got a wonderful radio station. He's been doing this for 16 years over there in Las Vegas. And I think he's like me. He's sort of addicted to doing talk radio. Believe me, I look upon it as a real privilege to have a voice and lose a great voice over there in Las Vegas, trying to get people to think and to see what's going on and realize that freedom is not free. And what's lost will never be regained. So, anyway, of course, Lou, as far as you're concerned, do you think they're going to get this amnesty bill through?
I don't think they have any choice. Of course they're going to. I know the Congress is making noise. The House says they'll never allow it, but neither was the Senate going to allow it. It's the people who run the world. It's their plan. And they're not going to be stopped. They'll come out and they'll lie to you, and they'll tell you, well, the majority of people favor this new wall we're supposedly going to be building between our nation. They'll tell you anything to set your mind supposedly at ease. But they know what they're doing, and they're pretty smart people. But even more importantly, as you know, Dr. Stan, they have all the money. It's your money, it's my money, but they own it, they control it. It's the same thing when it comes to elections. There's never been a difference between the two major parties. There really one. And they make sure that the people who are running for the highest offices will listen to what the rulers have to say and follow their plan. Right now, George isn't looking for... Well, he's not running for anything, so he could care less. He's already destroyed his branch of the party that used to be called Republican. But when you have people, independents, who might make a try for the office, you won't read about them in your daily paper, you won't hear about them on TV, the majority of people will not even know their name, so they don't stand a chance. And then when you go to vote, even beyond that, you're voting on these computerized electronic machines, which are riggable, and they've been proven to be rigged already. I mean, they've really got you coming and going when you stop and think about it. They're going to convene. It's not an election so much as it is a C-election. And the last evidence of this? Well, I think Ronald Reagan got into office because he had financial backers where he could reach the public. He swore he would never have Papa Bush as his vice president. I mean, he was adamant about that. But the controllers said, either you have Mr. Bush as your vice president or you'll never see the office. And then shortly after he attained the office, they gave him a warning shot. And, well, the rest is history.
And I think it's really so interesting that the man who shot him...
Bush Sr. attained office, and then he became president. And what can I say? Life goes on, but with a lot of changes.
I think it was so interesting that the Hinckley...
No, we're kind of between a rock and a hard place, and that's why I suggest... If we ever had a chance, I would get rid of everyone now in office, if that was humanly possible. Knowing that they control the money and they control the media, it's not an easy job. But if there was ever a chance of doing that, that would be my first step. Then I would get government out of education, which really isn't education, it's indoctrination. I mean, my grandchildren will not go to a public school. They're going to be homeschooled, and they're going to learn the truth, and we're going to study the Founding Fathers, and we're going to study the real American history, and they're going to be aware of what is going on. Whether it'll be to their benefit or their advantage, only time will tell. But at least there'll be some people out there who know the truth about the history of our nation.
Well, I think that's a very, very admirable thing. I think this is so important. Homeschooling is the only way to get a decent education in America today. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. If you have a question for our guest this evening, but Lou, of course, is talking about how if he had it up to him, he'd get rid of every one of our elected representatives and start from scratch. Well, you know, as I see what's coming down the line, I can see the whole financial structure of our central authority beginning to crumble because we owe in the neighborhood of $60 trillion. That's the actual debt of our government, actuarially sound, and there's no way that can ever be paid off. They're almost going to have to just drop the whole thing and start in all over again. I fear that when they do that, the Constitution that we know and love will cease to be, but who knows, maybe God will intervene and in some way or other we will be able to maintain some of the heritage that you and I inherited from generations past.
Dr. Stan, I'm losing you again. I don't know what's wrong with our connections, but all of a sudden you become so faint I can almost barely hear you at all.
I'm terribly sorry for that, Lou. I don't know what's going on. Was it better when we called you back?
Please.
All right, fine. I'm going to have you hang up again, have my producer go ahead and call Lou one more time, and hopefully why we can get through the rest of the evening here. But America, if it really is at a crossroads, are we going to war with Iran? Yes, I believe we are. I think they're just waiting for some sort of a justification for an attack. What's going to happen to Israel? I don't know. I do know that as far as Israel is concerned, she is surrounded by Hamas to the south and by Hezbollah to the north, by Syria and Iran to the east. And these countries, these organizations and nations have massive numbers of rockets that they can fire at Israel, and they can do immeasurable damage. Certainly, both Iran and Syria will soon have MiG-31s, which is a very advanced fighter plane, quite comparable to Israel's fighter planes. Now, whether the Iranians and Syrian pilots will be able to fly them, I really don't know, but certainly, as I look and see what faces Israel today, there is no way by man's means that they are going to survive. Well, let's go ahead and go to Kevin, who's calling us from Bronsfeld. I'm not sure where that is, but we'll go ahead and screen him. Lou, can you hear me all right?
Now I can, yes. I'm sorry about this, Doc. I don't know what's going on, but, boy, there for a while I could even, well, I could almost hear you, but not really clearly to understand what you were saying, but I can now.
All right, fine. Well, let's just hope that it'll maintain for a little while, and if we can get Kevin the screen through, why, we'll take his call. And anyway, of course, I guess this evening has been Lou Upton, certainly one of my favorite guests, and we enjoy being on his program. I'm going to be with him on a Friday morning, and we'd like to have Lou come on, because we can share, because we are on the front lines of this battle, and we want you on the front lines of this battle, too, a battle to determine whether this nation or any nation conceived under God can long survive. Well, Lou, do you have anything that you'd like to say to wrap up? We got about 3 minutes before I have to let you go.
Well, I just want to say God bless you and all those people who are listening to you. And I, again, have total respect for your outstanding efforts in getting the word out. And hopefully they're not falling on deaf ears. And my show, again, out of Las Vegas, is 11 o'clock a.m. Pacific time. And my website, if you're not in the Las Vegas, Nevada area, is LouEptonShow.com.
All right, let's go to Kevin calling from Bronsfels, Texas, with a quick comment.
Hi, Dr. Stan. It's Kevin. I used to live in Austin. I moved down to New Braunfels.
All right.
It's a German word, New Braun.
All right.
Anyway, you know, you're right. What's going on in Washington, D.C., these people are traitors to, like, the extreme. I live here in this little town here. I moved down, and you see these people coming in, these illegals, and they are not nice people. And you've got 30 million of them, not all of them. I mean, a lot of them are all right, but I mean, some of them look like, I mean, God, you know, they're like murderers from El Salvador.
Yeah.
You know, and they've been just sprinkled into our communities, and God knows what they're going to do.
Well, let's hope, of course, that we can maintain law and order. My fear is that we're going to break down in certain
right.
parts of the country into total chaos.
I think
total
so.
Lawlessness.
I think that's the purpose of this, and that's why George Bush really does serve Satan. That's all I want to say.
All right. God bless you. Thanks so much, Kevin. And look, your job is to get everybody there listening to Radio Liberty and to Lou Upton, okay?
Okay. God bless you.
Bye-bye. Okay. Well, it's sort of exciting to know that we do have listeners really all over the world. In fact, I did an interview last night with Ed Decker. Some of you may have heard it. And when Ed said this morning, why, there was an email he got from somebody in Japan who was listening to the program and was commenting on how much he enjoyed it. And we, of course, get this sort of message all the time. The listeners all over the world, Internet is a wonderful means, shortwave, we've got the satellite. We are blessed, Lou, to have the means of communication today we have that we've never had before. And the other side isn't quite sure what to do with it. You know, in fact, more and more people are waking up. Lou Upton, thank you so very much for being with us. It's been fun, and we'll look forward to being with you on Friday morning.
And thank you so much, Dr. Stan. I look forward to the pleasure of your company come Friday. Thanks again, and good night, sir.
Good night. God bless. Okay, fine. That was Lou Upton from, of course, Las Vegas, Nevada, where he's been for 16 years, fighting the good fight. And just as other people all across America are doing today. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and this is the time when I really need to remind all of our listeners that my ministry is primarily listener-supported. We're dependent on those of you who listen to us to help us as we reach out across America. 5 hours every weekday, and then on a weekend program as well, to about 25, 27 stations, somewhere in there, trying to educate people. But we do have a voice, and hopefully that voice is going to be able to continue to expand, and we've got some great things coming down the line, but quite frankly, we need your help. If you believe in what we're doing and like to become part of our team, our number is 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-844-8927. And then, of course, to understand spiritually what's happening, let me suggest my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, and or the video by that title, or DVD for that matter. And then, of course, our latest talk on the Forbidden Secret. And it comes with a syllabus that will really introduce you to the angel who rides in the whirlwind and directs his storm. And President Bush referred not once but twice to the angel who rides in the whirlwind in his first inaugural speech. And we've simply reproduced a couple of his speeches so that you can find and see his references to fire in the minds of men. Why, that is a reference to a book written by Billington, actually goes back to Dostoevsky, but a book written by Billington about the world revolution. The world revolution is the fire in the minds of men. And of course, George Bush says, we've lit a fire in the minds of men. What is what we're doing over in the Near East have to do with the world revolution? It has everything to do with it. We're going to transform the Arab world. We're going to go to war with the whole of the Muslim world. This is what it's all about. And we're doing everything we can to get them to hate us, everything we can to get us to hate them. And do not fall into the trap. I mean, we may not agree with their religion, but, of course, to hate anybody, of course, detracts from us. So understand what's going on. We're involved in a spiritual battle. If we keep our eyes firmly fixed on the Lord, we're not going to get into trouble. We do hope that many of you give serious consideration to subscribing to our newsletter or joining the Radio Liberty family if you have not yet made your preparations for the difficult times that lie ahead. If you'd like to get a catalog for long-term storage food, or you'd like to get a catalog for health products, or even one of our regular catalogs, we'd be glad to send it to you. If you have not yet read my February 2007 newsletter, which explains why we are going to war with Iran, it's up on the internet at RadioLiberty.com. Read it, copy it, circulate it. And then our March, April, May newsletters, you want to get those and circulate those as well, so people can begin to see the fraud, of course, the so-called danger of communism. Communism has been created. You have to have an enemy to rally the people behind the government, behind their leaders. It's a technique as old as time. So you'll certainly want to get our newsletters, copy them, and you have our permission to copy anything we produce, our videos, our 4-tape sets, our newsletters. As long as you're not selling them, you're welcome to copy them and of course, get them out. Try to get people to think. That is the most important thing you can do. And once they begin to think, they'll begin to understand what this is about. And then, of course, understand it's a spiritual battle. Look to the Lord for your strength and for your courage. Pray for America. Pray for revival. Pray for our leaders, but pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and protection. And if you're not a Christian, read the book of John. The best advice we could give you, simply read the book of John and give us a call. Until tomorrow at the same time, may the Lord be with you.